I'm David Nacht, and welcome to the latest EBU Radio Sport podcast, giving a voice to public service media across Europe. In this episode, we're focusing on the huge sport of handball. Now, if you're listening in the UK, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about. But for the rest of Europe, we saw the conclusion last month of the EHF Women's European Championships in France.
Le trophée sera pour les Françaises.
Du championnat d'Europe, 4 pour la France, 3 pour les Pays-Bas.
La France était championne du monde. La France est désormais championne d'Europe.
And as I present this podcast, we're close to the final round of the IHF Men's World Championships in Denmark and Germany. To find out how radio broadcasters tackle handball, we picked on the new boy in the EBU office, Joe Mason. Now, Joe's a Brit who, of course, should have little knowledge of this sport. And we asked him to interview commentators from DR and NRK ahead of a derby match in the group stages of the competition.
EBU's Radiosport Podcast.
I'm thrilled to be talking down the line from the World Handball Championships in Denmark to Lars Brondrum, Head of Sports Radio, Social Media and Podcasts at Danish Radio.
Hello, hello.
And Patrick Rowlands, a commentator for NRK in Norway.
Good afternoon.
Just describe the atmosphere. What's going on at the moment?
Well, the atmosphere is in Denmark every time they host something like this. It's always a good atmosphere. Right now, it's one of the smaller matches, if you can say that. But we're all looking very, very forward to the big match, the group final between Lars's home country, Denmark, and my home country, Norway tonight.
A huge game and a huge rivalry, and I'm intrigued. What is it about handball that grasps the fascination of audiences in the Scandinavia areas and across Europe, everywhere essentially, other than the UK?
Well, from my point of view, I think that one of the things is that it's really locally originated. I myself is from a fairly small town with 1,000 citizens, and I think maybe 700 of them was a member of the local handball club. And I think this picture is kind of the same all over Denmark, that this is really the thing you do, you play handball. So this gives this profound interest in the whole country, that everyone has a connection to handball. For example, from my home city, well, one of the players in the actual Danish handball team attending tonight is from that area. So it's always kind of locally connected, and I think that's how handball is big in Denmark, but also I think it's the same in Norway. It's a thing you do in many small cities, small towns, and also it's a thing you can do in winter where the weather is a bit more dire than the rest of Europe.
It is the same in Norway. In Norway, handball is the third biggest sport. It's only skiing and of course football, who's got more players than handball. So as Lars says, it's got an interest all the way from like the small towns to the bigger towns, and in our countries, not the UK, but in our countries, Denmark, Norway and a few other countries as well, handball is one of the biggest things you can go to see, especially here in Denmark, where there's, I don't know, 16,000 people almost every day when they're watching the World Championships. Mm-hmm.
So just put it into perspective, the game tonight between Denmark and Norway, how much of a deal is it to audiences in those countries? Is it the world's biggest event? Is it something that people will go out their way to go and watch and find a TV or a radio to watch or listen to the match live?
Yes, they will. They definitely will. This is only the group stages, so it's not like the final four or anything like that. But I've seen Norwegians checking into hotels for the last few days. Norwegians have gone by train, they've gone by car or buses, by plane, by boat. Everyone who has a chance to get a ticket to this match, if you are Norwegian and interested in handball, you are here in Denmark. This is one of the biggest matches, and this is the biggest match that we already knew was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know if Norway and Denmark, well, we know now that they're both going through to the next round, but this was kind of the date that you could set aside. So if you haven't got tickets here, yes, there'll be probably around about a million Norwegian viewers and a lot of radio listeners as well. This is a big, big thing for Norwegian listeners and Norwegian fans.
It's the same from here. I think in Denmark, this was the first match to get sold out. It happened so quickly because everyone knew this is where the group stage final will happen. And also, when it comes to viewership in TV, this probably will top in as maybe top three of the most viewed events in all year of Denmark.
And Patrick, you have a bit of an understanding of how little the sport is known in the UK.
Well, I am I'm half English. My father's from Darlington in the northeast of England. I've also got family in Brighton. And speaking to family in Darlington and my grandma when she was alive and my family in Brighton, they've got no knowledge of handball whatsoever. They saw it in the 2012 London Olympics, which they all thought was so great. And everyone was like, "Oh, we need to get handball big in the UK." But it kind of got forgotten. For myself, I used to play, and I was also asked actually to be a part of the London 2012 Olympics because as soon as London got the bid, they didn't have a handball team, but they were already qualified, so they needed to find players. And I know that the coach, both on the women's and the men's side, he tried to get players, and he knew that there was a lot of British citizens in Scandinavia. One of them was me. I was asked to come and join the team, but they wanted me to stay 3 years in Denmark, and I like your country, Lars, but it's 3 years a little bit too long when I was only like 19, 20 years old. I wanted to study and do other things, so yeah, maybe I would have had a chance to play in the Olympics, but I chose not to live 3 years in Denmark to finally go to the Olympics and probably lose every match with about 30 goals sense. In every match.
What are you saying about the UK? You're saying we're terrible at the sport?
Yes, I am, actually. Straightforward, you are terrible at the sport. But I've seen that there's a few teams now developing around it. There's a lot of Scandinavians, Danish people, Norwegian people, Swedish people who've moved to the UK. And I've actually seen one of the teams play online, and it's not bad. It's getting better, but probably the best team in the UK will struggle in the Norwegian, like, fourth division, probably.
And something I want to pick up on there, Patrick, what you said is that you have watched it online. And this is something that you'll know all about, Lars, that due to the popularity of online and being able to access sport now via social media and via alternative platforms, it means that sports can reach other places. So can you see a future, Lars, for the popularity growth of handball to other countries where it isn't natively as popular with your traditional audiences via public service broadcasters? Where do you think the future is for handball in those countries?
Well, indeed, I think there's a fascination within every sport. We see that, especially during the Olympics, there are some loopholes into these countries that handball, for example, isn't that big. And I think it's all about having great commentators presenting the sport with enthusiasm and passion as well. And those clips where you kind of get the essence of the sport. For example, I saw a match yesterday between Sweden and Qatar, and it was just down to the very last second where it got decided who was the winner. And these moments are all across handball and all across these sports that maybe aren't big in other countries. And I think that's the way to sell each sport, is by choosing these clips very careful and then sharing them on all these platforms that actually are available right now. We see that, for example, on Instagram, there is a huge success in putting up clips and then saying, if you want to watch the whole match, then swipe up and watch it here. And we see a very huge, what can you call, conversion of audience watching on Instagram and then following it onto our main website, for example.
And also, just to say, the sport is getting very much bigger, because here in the championships, Angola is here, Korea is here, Bahrain is here, Chile is here, Saudi Arabia is here. There's a lot of smaller countries in handball standards that are here, and the championships is also going to be extended from 24 teams to 32 teams. So the sport of handball is getting out there. It's just about, as you say, getting out there online and on social media as well.
So it means it's an exciting time for the sport, and obviously with younger audiences just constantly searching for more and more content via social platforms, how do you go about producing that content that is in addition to your day-to-day job? Because I can imagine it's just getting busier and busier with producing notes and commentating. How do you find the time to do any more social media content on top of that?
If we could extend 24 hours a day, that would be appreciated. Because as you say, there's not a lot of extra time. As a commentator, I'm here commentating at least two games every other day. You also have to prepare for those games. I also have to do interviews before with the coach of the Norwegian handball team. We do interviews after. We also take pictures or go live on Instagram or live on Facebook. Just to get everything out there. We're also on Snapchat, and I have my own podcast, which is just on handball players. It's kind of a portrait of a handball player. NRK
Sport. Joakim Hikkerud, velkommen hit.
Takk skal du ha. Takk skal du ha.
Hva tenker du om introen her?
Nei, veldig, 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 veldig fin intro.
Comes out once every week, but as I travel the whole of January, which is the World Cup for men, and the European Cup was in France for women in December, I had to make everything in November. So it's all about planning and then knowing kind of your audience and how they want to react. As you say, there's a lot of young people who also follow handball or are coming up and getting interest in handball, and it's about finding them on the social platforms as where they are, which is, seems to me, mainly Snapchat. I mean, I can go past two young people like 13 years old. They're not speaking to each other. They're just texting back and forth. And that was not how it was in my youth.
So where are you going these days to promote your podcast? Are you going to Instagram stories? Is it Snapchat? Is it an old style Facebook post? What social media technology are you doing to best engage with your audience?
Well, I use Twitter, which is not that successful because Twitter seems like it's usually more for like journalists and commentators and stuff like that. But we have a great team at home who have now listened to a lot of the podcasts and they pick out what they think brings forth the most feelings. And they make kind of an Instagram story, which is where we get the most people on Instagram. We also do it on Facebook and other social media platforms, but Instagram, don't know how it is for you, Lars, but Instagram for us seems to be the best way to reach people, and as you said before, direct them to where we want them to go, which in this case is my podcast.
If I can follow up on that, I totally agree that Instagram is kind of showing that it has its place in the market. Previously it was much more about just having nice pictures, and now you can actually promote your way of covering sports and then lead audience into more content. One of the questions that you asked Patrick is about how do we manage to do all these new stuff on social media? And one of the things I think we will do on DR in the coming years is producing less social media stuff, but do it with a much higher level of quality.
Yeah.
Because in the recent years, we've really been pushing a lot of stuff out there and putting a lot of effort into it, but it has been like left-hand work. And I can see that there is a trend towards really producing high-quality stuff. And this gives a very loyal audience, which always engage with your stuff because they know whenever I watch a post from DR Sports or NRK, for example, then I know it's of a high quality. You know, it's the most precious resource in these times. It's the audience time, and you shouldn't really waste it by doing secondhand clips on social media.
Yeah, that's what I see as well. If you go 2 years back, we just posted photos with texts on Instagram. Now we've got a team sitting at home, listening to everything, making videos, editing, and it's higher quality, as you said.
Yeah. Lars, the more resources that you would have, clearly the better to be able to produce this amount of content, even if you want to just produce less but of a higher quality. So what would be your dream team setup? Would you have one person dedicated to each platform? How would you like to equip your social media team to produce the best content?
Well, I think one of the keys to our success is that we have some extremely talented interns. And these are of another bread than the normal radio and TV reporters, and they have the insights and all the knowledge of how to use Instagram, and it's often there you get the inspiration to, hey, we can do this in a new way. I've seen this new way Instagram story is promoting itself. Could we try to integrate that into our coverage? And a lot of the new things in our organization comes from our younger employees, which are really, really talented in regards of social media and have a lot of great ideas. So I don't believe in that you have these split columns where you have people doing radio, people doing TV, people doing social media. I think everyone should have the knowledge of social media and then another platform in order to be successful in the coming years, I think. It's not only good enough to be a good TV reporter. You have to know the mechanics of social media in order to be able to produce content for that's right for the media.
And who do you think the social media responsibility falls down to? Is it the reporter producing their own content, or should it be dedicated teams who accompany reporters and commentators to produce exclusive content for those platforms?
I think it's a teamwork. Commentators can't do it all by themselves because, as you heard, Patrick's schedule is pretty much filled out from morning to late evening. So there has to be a team backing him up and giving him tips on, hey, could you maybe take a photo here and then put in this text, and could you maybe make a small video with this? Because I don't think one man alone has the capacity in order to get all the great ideas. So I think it's most definite a teamwork all the way around.
Yeah, and that's how it's been working for us in this championship as well. There's been people, a team sitting at home and then coming up with ideas and then texting me or phoning me and saying that we need a picture of him, or could you get him to say that, or for today's match against Denmark, they want to put a camera up here on the commentator position because they know that it's going to be exciting and they know that I might actually lose it as a commentator, and that's something they want out on the social media.
Yeah, that's great content.
Well, it's been a fantastic insight into the world of handball and to your production techniques. So thank you so much for joining us at a very busy event, Lars and Patrick. Enjoy the match this evening, and I can't wait to tune in myself.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My thanks to Joe Mason from EBU, talking to Lars Brendam Nielsen from DR and Patrick Rowlands from NRK. And finally, we're doing the best we can to bring the public service broadcasters in Europe together and to give them a voice through this podcast. But we'd love to hear what you think of these podcasts and what you'd like to hear us discuss. So please do reach out to me at davidknight1 or to @sportonradio on Twitter. Until next time, bye-bye.
EBU's Radiosport Podcast.